Someone get 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Okay? And then someone find John chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. You have it, Zach? Okay. That's John 15, 14 and 15. Someone else get Matthew 1:23. Amanda, will you get that? Matthew 1:23. All right, let's start there. 1 Corinthians 3, 9.
For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. We are God's building.
Okay, part of what fellowship implies, something else that fellowship implies is partnership. It has to do, again, with the oneness, with the connectivity. But when you're in fellowship with someone, it means that there is really a partnership. It's not about someone that's way up here and you're way down here. That there's something about a partnership or a togetherness that is entailed in fellowship. God has His part to do in our experience of salvation, and we have our part to do. But it said here that we are laborers together with God. And when you are laborers together, it means you're workers together. And it seems like a lot of times people fail to remember that we aren't just, while we are servants of the King, we are also His children. We already read the scripture. It talked about Him being our Father, and we're sons and daughters. And He wants us to be workers together. And when you are workers together with someone, that brings about a common cause. And the Lord wants that to be in our working in the kingdom of God. It's not about God being up in heaven cracking the whip. In other words, there's no joy in that if our service to the Lord is about God standing over us, looking for any little mistake, ready just to, you know, discipline us. There's no joy in that. But when we understand that if we will put our part into our worship to the Lord and in service to the Lord, that God wants to be in partnership with us. And when we have burdens and problems, if you have a partner, what do you do? What do you do with someone that you have fellowship with, someone that you're close to, you're friends with, you're partners with, there's warmth there, and you're in a battle? What do you do? You share. And when you share, what does that do to your problem? It does what? It cuts it in half. You know, there's something about being able to talk about something. When we keep things all bottled up inside, sometimes they can start coming out in inappropriate ways until we learn to open up and share. The Lord wants to do that. Part of fellowship with God means that we have a friend that we can actually be open with. I was talking to someone, well, this week, and there were some needs and problems in their life that they wished they would have come and talked to me about, and they didn't do it. And the problem got worse because they didn't. And they recognized it would have been best to have come and say, hey, I have a problem. Will you help me? It makes it easier to solve a problem when you're willing to talk about it. And with the Lord, sometimes we don't need to be afraid to tell the Lord our struggles. We don't have to, again, you all have heard me say a lot, we don't have to feel like we're so spiritual that we can't just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm really having a problem with this attitude, or I'm really struggling feeling this way, or I'm really being tempted to go do that. And Lord, I know you don't like, I know it's not right, but that's how I'm feeling. The Lord's our partner. We are laborers together, and He wants to be part of our life. On a daily basis, part of fellowship is having God that we can share our burdens with, we can share our problems with, but we have to be willing to open up and not to feel like we can't cover anything from God anyway. And I think the more we recognize to totally be open with the needs in our life, the more successful we're going to be, the sooner we're going to have victory over, and it helps just to be able to talk about it with the Lord. Another thing about being partners with God in fellowship is that the Lord wants us to be laborers together in the work of God. We are not, the Lord has jobs for us to do for Him. And there are times that if I didn't, there was work that I was doing, if I felt like I was there by myself, it would have been very, very lonely. But when I recognize that I am doing this for God and I'm doing it with God, it gave me the courage when sometimes things don't turn out like you want them to, you may not see results like you want, and those things can be discouraging. But when we're laborers together with God, it's, Lord, this is a joint effort. Lord, this is what you called me to, but I'm working with you, and then you can share in the successes. And when there are failures, you don't have to take the burden for all of that either, because you're workers with God. You're laborers together with God. And that means results don't matter as much as long as you are working hand in hand with God. And that's part of what the joy of our fellowship is that we are partners with God. And I think a lot of times, too many times, people feel like they're doing this on their own. And we don't have to serve the Lord by ourselves. He wants to be our partner. Labors together with God. John 15, 14 and 15.
Dear my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known.
Okay. Do any of you all have someone that you know that you would say it's an acquaintance? And they said, well, do you know them? So, well, it's an acquaintance. Do you have fellowship with an acquaintance? Not usually, right? It's someone that you may know their name and you know a little bit about them, but there's not a lot of connectivity. And you may even be on speaking terms. You see each other, say hello. But there's not a real warmth. There's not a real closeness there. Jesus said, you are my friends. And he brought in the issue of obedience here. He said, if you do whatsoever I command you, our obedience is to be a result of our desire to have fellowship with God. That ought to be the motivation for our obedience. And that's what brings joy to obedience. When I don't feel like it, but I do it anyway, there's joy in it, and I actually find pleasure in my spirit when I'm doing it, because, Lord, I want to maintain the connectivity. I want to be one. But Jesus said, you're not servants. He said, I'm not calling you servants, because I'm calling you friends. Part of that comes from that God does not just want to be on speaking terms or just an acquaintance with us. You know, on Sundays or just every once in a while, I'll kind of pray and talk to the Lord just a little bit. But he wants to have a friendship, and it takes something to be friends with someone. It takes sacrifice. It takes understanding. It takes forgiveness. It takes warmth. It takes something more than duty. Is that not right? That's what the Lord wants in our experience with him this afternoon. He wants to be a friend. And he's saying, I'm sharing. I'm opening myself up to you. Now you open yourself up to me and we're friends. And that's the relationship that God wants to have, is a relationship of friendship. That's fellowship. That's what it's about. God does not want it. One of the scriptures talks about, is God a God afar off? And I think it's good for us sometimes to look at our relationship and say, is God afar off or is he real close? And when he's afar off, it's time for us to start cultivating the friendship. It's time to start cultivating. Maybe it's an issue of obedience. Maybe it's an issue that I've let a wedge get driven in between my fellowship. I want to make the changes that I need to make to keep fellowship with God. But I want all of us, and you children and young people, I want you to remember, God wants to be a friend to you. He's not someone that has his arms strolling to say, oh, dang, you messed up, buddy. That's not the God that we serve. He wants to be our friend. And if I'm struggling, God wants to struggle with me, if you understand what I'm saying. He wants to be part of my struggle to give me what I need to raise me up that I can have victory. That's friendship. Friendship does not cut off. I was talking to Renee about it on the way to service. I have a sentimental streak. She said, yeah, but you're not sappy. I'm not sappy. But I've thought, even this week in meditating on this, I thought of in the past people that I've one time had fellowship with, that I don't have fellowship with them anymore. That I grieve over that. And I look to the past and think, you know, one time there was the connection. There was warmth. There was partnership. There was working together. There was that connectivity that was going on. And I don't have that any longer. I don't want to ever lose that with God. I don't want to ever allow anything in my life to cause that to be a loss. A man without friends is lonely. And you know, people that don't have God, fellowship with God, they're actually very lonely people. And that's why people turn to all different kinds of things in the world, and they're trying to fill that void that's in their life. But when we truly, I'm not talking about finding religion, but when we find fellowship with God, you will find that you will begin to be fulfilled. Doesn't mean you won't have needs in your life. It doesn't mean that, but there's a void in all of us that will only be filled by God's friendship. We don't have to be lonely. There are lonely situations in life, but there is a place that God can fill in us in those times. Matthew 1:23, who had that? Yes. I ask you for a reason, Amanda. That ring a bell, children, to some of you children? Jesus, before he was born, it said they shall call his name what? Emmanuel, which means God with us. Want to talk about fellowship? That's why Jesus came. Because he did not want to just be a God way up in heaven, but he wanted to come down in earth, the Son of God, and be part with us, and that's Emmanuel. And so, if we're not experiencing Emmanuel, we're the losers. If we're not experiencing God with us. Now, in other words, this is not just a Sunday God. A God on Sunday that we come and we pray to God and then go our way and live our life through the week. This is about having a continual relationship with God every single day, every moment of our life. Is God is so integrated into who we are because of our connectivity. That's Emmanuel. God with us. And there are other scriptures that bear out this, but the Lord has promised to be with us and never forsake us. As long as we don't turn our back on him. That's the caveat. As long as we don't turn our back on God, he will not turn his back on us. Even if you're struggling, even if you've stumbled, even if you skinned your knee spiritually, if you will not turn your back on God, he'll help you get up and move on. God with us. That's fellowship. That's one of the things that it seems like a lot of times, even when I'm gone on a trip, if I'm international, I can't help it as much. But if I'm in the States and I'm on a trip, it seems like Renee and I are on the phone all the time. I mean, we're not because we have things to do. But it seems like driving down the road or there's just in between what I'm doing, we're on the phone just talking because of oneness, because of connectivity, because of fellowship. And that's what God wants to be with us all the time. When we go to work or you children, when you go to school, you're not checking God out at the school doorhouse. When you come and it's time to take a test or you're just through the day, the Lord wants to be with you all the time, that you're just having a dialogue with God all the time. It's like, you don't, I'm not talking about talking to yourself, but just communication with God all the time. Some people think, well, I separate my church life from my work life and my school life. That's a wrong approach. The Lord wants to have fellowship, and that means if I'm going to go to school, I'm going to have fellowship with God. And everything I do, I want God to be so integrated in my life. God with me. That's what Emmanuel is God with me. I want to take him to school with me. I want to take him to work with me, and I'm not going to put distance between what's going on in my life. Is this just theology or is this reality? What is it? It's reality. And my heart goes out to people that have not found this reality. Because to them, church and living a holy life and all of what that entails, it becomes a straitjacket for people. It becomes oppression rather than deliverance. Fellowship with God brings deliverance. It brings joy. That's why I want to be here. I would, in an anointed service, I would rather be there's nowhere I would rather be than working for God somewhere. Or where the presence of the Lord is, there's nowhere else I'd rather be in this world than where I can feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit, feel the presence of God. That comes from fellowship with God. So if there are areas in life that you begin to feel like that fellowship, there's a little breach there, don't be discouraged, but just I want to encourage everybody here to keep press on. Say, Lord, that's what I want. I want to maintain that fellowship and integrate God in every part of your life. Driving down the road, you want to talk about the things we do and don't do. From the music you listen to the things you read, to the places you go, to the words that you speak. Let God be so integrated in your life that you're always just kind of doing that reality check with God. Lord, is this, you know, is this good? Or Lord, help me through this problem here. And just live in a way that you maintain fellowship with God. It's a good way to live, children. And this is what it means to truly serve the Lord. It means it's about fellowship. Something else that fellowship means, and I'm not going to take the time to read it. Renee mentioned it to you children this morning. But remember Adam and Eve when they were in the garden? They talked with God. There was communion. That is another key word to what fellowship means. It means communion. And that is communion by definition is that understanding between your spirit and God's spirit. It's that connection. And there's a scripture that says to pray without ceasing. How many of you all stay on your knees 24 hours a day praying? Anybody? But do you know that we can pray without ceasing? Praying without ceasing is really talking about fellowship. It's a heart of prayer is talking about a heart of connection with God all the time. In everything we do. And I wouldn't be preaching this if I didn't experience it. It's in every single thing. It's a constant part of who we are because Christ is living in our life. And then we cultivate that fellowship. And I will acknowledge that there are sometimes the fellowship seems closer and sweeter than other times. Renee and I were talking about duty before on our way here this afternoon. And I said, duty is not the reason. I told you all this morning, if we're serving the Lord just out of duty, it doesn't cut it. But I will say this, during the times that maybe you don't feel that overflowing warmth, it is duty that will carry you to that next time that you feel that rich anointing and presence of God. So I'm not undermining the importance of duty, but we do our duty because of fellowship. And our desire to maintain that closeness with God. So communion, do you remember Adam and Eve? They were in communion with God. They had fellowship. And that communion was broken because of what? Because of sin. Sin in our life will break fellowship with God. And I know there are people that have broken fellowship with God and they continue to testify of an experience of salvation and fellowship with God. I'm not talking about mistakes. I'm not talking about where you erred and you're repentant and sorry in your heart. I'm talking about when you have allowed wrong to be a pattern in your life and you've accepted it and you carry on with the testimony of salvation, you do great damage. People do great damage to them spiritually when they do that. Because we've already read the scriptures that God cannot fellowship darkness. And if there is sin or disobedience in our life, it breaks communion with God. But there is a way back. And it's a way back of saying, Lord, I'm sorry. And I'm going to fix and turn away from what I did. And I'm going to correct it. That's what repentance is. And that restores communion with God. I can't help but think about as well the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Do you remember when Jesus disappeared again or he went the other way? Remember they prayed and then he was gone? Do you remember what the disciples said? Did not our hearts burn within us? Their eyes were open and they realized that it was the Christ. Do you know fellowship is about that burning in our hearts? And I don't want anybody to feel like you don't have fellowship if you don't always have that hot burning. But I will say there's an experience that this is a continual reality of filling that fellowship. And then there are times of greater anointing and greater warmth. But I believe that it is one of the things that ought to keep us going are those times that our hearts just burn within us. That's fellowship with God. That's communion. And I would that everybody would feel their hearts burning inside of them. It'll keep you when you're tempted. It'll help you when you're tempted to do something, but yet you have that experience of your heart burning within you. It's, Lord, I don't want to displease you. I don't want to break the communion that I have with you, Lord. Fellowship also means sharing. You know, when you have fellowship with someone, you share. You're partners, but you also share. You give and you take. Do you remember Jesus or the prodigal son's father? He told his eldest son who'd stayed at home being dutiful. He said, all that I have is thine. And all the blessings, the joy, the everything that I have is yours to enjoy. And the Lord wants to be part. He wants to share with us. There is a place of broken fellowship. We're not going to take a lot of time this afternoon on it. I mentioned Adam and Eve. Sin broke their fellowship. There is a time that Saul, do you remember God had Samuel anoint Saul as king? Because he approved of Saul. He thought Saul was a young man that had a heart to do what was right. Do you remember when God lifted his blessing off of Saul? It was through disobedience. And what the scripture says is, when thou wast little in thy sight. When thou wast little in thy sight, he did what was right. But it was when he began to revel in his kingship that he began to take on upon himself the responsibility of making decisions without seeking God. Spiritually, we can do the same thing. And I'm going to say individually, and I'm going to say as a congregation, I'm going to say as a movement of people. As a movement, we can say we've been around for so many years and we've got it all figured out, and we can start assuming authority based on our experience and failing to coming back to the altar and saying, Lord, we are desperate for your leadership and your anointing. I don't want to get to the place that I say my gray hairs have equipped me to make the decisions. It is only through the anointing and leadership of the Holy Spirit, folks, that we're going to be able to make it through the times that we're living in. We are in a battle for our spiritual lives. It's happening all over the world right now. There's problems all over. How are we going to get through it? Only through dependency on the Holy Spirit. That means we need to keep our fellowship with God. We need to recognize that I'm so dependent on the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lack of obedience. How close of friends do you stay with someone if you don't talk to them ever? Yeah, if you communicate or write, it creates a bond, doesn't it? But do you realize that a lack of communication begins to tear down fellowship? It breaks fellowship because there's, what do you have in common? There's no oneness. There's no connectivity. And where there is a lack of connectivity, then there starts to be a lack of fellowship. I know there are people that live, you know, across other places. And when you see them sometimes, there are some people you can pick back up where you left off. And other people, you almost have to start back at square one. We don't have to do that with the Lord. But this is why it's important for us to keep contact with the Lord. This is where prayer is important. It's not an issue about saying, well, I forgot to pray today, so I feel guilty, and I guess I'm just, you know, not doing what I should do. This is about, Lord, I want to take time to talk to you because I want to keep my fellowship. Now, that's time on our knees as well as that praying without ceasing that ought to be going on. But this is why it's important. You want to, if I went 2 days without talking to my wife, what kind of relationship do you think we'd have? I actually heard of a husband and wife that did that. I think the husband went 3 days without saying a word to his wife. They'd have a little big disagreement. I remember what it was. Well, anyway, that's another story. But do you realize that does not help fellowship when you don't communicate? It actually causes the enemy and inroad to get in and begin to build walls when you fail to communicate. Because then suspicions, imaginations start creeping in. Doesn't that happen in human relationships? Do you know with God it's the same way? If we do not take time to pray and keep our hearts open with God, it gives the enemy an avenue to come in and start bringing things to our mind and start getting us to have a warped vision of what serving the Lord is all about. This is about fellowship. It's about connectivity. And so the Lord wants us to maintain it. He doesn't want it to be broken. Before I conclude this afternoon, I preached a message. Y'all, I don't know if you remember it or not. It was at least a year ago, maybe, on fellowshipping the suffering of Christ. I thought about just leaving that completely out because I thought, well, I touched on that a year ago. But I want to read a scripture to you. Someone can get it for me. There's a lot that could be said about it, but over in Philippians 3:10, if someone can read that, Philippians 3:10, who has it? Okay, go ahead. Yes, conformable. Thank you. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, we've talked about different areas and aspects of fellowship. Just to review, fellowship, common interest, the nature of God, a common nature, his character, partnership, communion, sharing. Those are some of the things we talked about. Friendship and companionship. Emmanuel. Oneness. Yes. That he might share in his suffering. There are a number of scriptures that talk about the suffering. We do. But here's the thing. That if we are in fellowship with God, there is a part that we are also going to have to be willing to fellowship in his suffering. And that means that in fellowshipping in his suffering, Jesus told his disciples, and again, I'm not going to re-preach that message of whatever it was a year or so ago, but there are going to be people that will hate us when we are walking with Christ. Because your life of fellowship with God will bring a reproof on their conduct. And so rather than even turning on God with their mouth, they will turn on you. It's not a pleasant place to be in, but it's part of serving the Lord. I'm going to fellowship his suffering. The world will hate you when you fellowship with Christ because the way of Christ is so different and contrary to the way of the world. So if you find that there are people that don't like you and people that cast your name out as evil when you have done no wrong, and it's because your life has brought a reproach on their own life and their conduct, you keep loving the person, but recognize there's a place of fellowshipping the suffering of Christ. And that is something also, there are blessings in suffering with Christ. When you do the Lord's work and you sacrifice and you give and you suffer because of it, Christ was the one that left a pattern of suffering, and we don't need to feel like that we're doing wrong because we're suffering. Jesus suffered, and I believe that if you do not have any suffering in your life, I would start to question if you really have the depth of fellowship with God that you ought to have. If the world accepts us and the world loves us based on the scripture, we are not fellowshipping Christ like we would. Because if we are fellowshipping Christ, the world isn't going to like us. And I'm going to go a step further. Because this is where we're at. I know there's just a few of us here, but I'm not just prophesying it. This is where it's at. There are going to be friends and family. There's going to be people in the congregation. There's going to be people in the body of Christ that will cast your name out as evil. And it is because of your fellowship with God. It's part of where the devil is working. It's because there's a reproach. Righteousness brings a reproach to people that are wanting to serve God their own way, their own brand, and they're not willing to come down and humble their heart and say, Lord, I give everything to you. And so, we need to be willing to fellowship his suffering. It'll bring some tears. It'll bring some heartache. But we need to recognize Jesus did it. And when we fellowship the suffering of the cross, there are blessings and spiritual growth that can come in our life because of it. There's a lot more that can be said on that, but I think we'll leave that for now. In conclusion, I just want to remind us that God desires so much. He desires fellowship. There is something about fellowship that nothing else substitutes. Remember what I said, fellowship is not just about duty. It's not just about obligation. It's not just about politeness. It's not just about, I don't know what other adjectives y'all want to use, but it is about a oneness of desire and interest and friendship and communication and desire and fellowship. That's what fellowship is. That's what the Lord wants to be in our life. He wants to be in fellowship with us, and it's going to cost everything that we have to keep our fellowship with God, but it's worth it because where did we start? Remember in 1 John 1, talk about the fellowship with God. He said, these things write I unto you that your joy might be full. So if your joy is not full this afternoon, or if at times you feel it's getting a little lean, and you will, we all will, then Lord, help me to examine my fellowship. Help me to examine my fellowship. Lord desires your joy to be full this afternoon. And I am so thankful for the fellowship with God. I wouldn't trade it. I wouldn't trade religion. I wouldn't trade people. I wouldn't trade church. I wouldn't trade any material things for the fellowship that we can have in the Holy Spirit with God. And that's why it's worth every single day. I want to challenge y'all to maintain it. Keep your fellowship strong with God, and He'll walk with you through every single thing you face in life. Amen.